Hebrews chapter 4. I was watching Ben play that offertory, and I know he's obviously been practicing that for quite a while, but I could not think of a better time for him to play it. And the arrangement and everything, I don't know who arranged that, but it couldn't have been arranged at a better time. You have the kind of the toil and the tension of stress in your life and the storm brewing, and I mean you can hear all that. I don't know if you listen to things like I do, but that's how I listen to things. But then all of a sudden it is well, and I couldn't help but thinking of how Ben has been wrestling with God, and went to Shawnee this past week and got his answer, and praise the Lord, that's just so exciting. It is well when you get the answer, when God says, okay, here's what I want you to do, and you know it. It is well. There's nothing better than that. It is well with my soul, and praise the Lord for that. What a blessing. Hebrews 4, and verses 1 to 7, a passage here. Really, the whole passage is an exciting passage. But it's very interesting. On Monday, I did something that I try to avoid doing. I was cleaning out a drawer. And in my office, I try to avoid those kind of things because they usually lead me into all kinds of things that rob me of time and everything. But I thought on Monday I could do that. So I was cleaning out this drawer, and I found a back of notebook paper, a back of the notebook, the cardboard part of a notebook pad. And on that cart, and I thought, what in the world is this piece of cardboard doing in my drawer? And I pulled it out and I looked at it, and sure enough, there was a start of a sermon, just different note. Pastors and preachers will write sermons on everything. I mean, it doesn't matter. I've got napkins that have starts of sermons. I've got notes people have written, and I'll start a sermon on that. Just all kinds of things. So on the back of this cardboard backing of a notebook, I had started a sermon. I had just written down a certain day, and this verse was there, our text, verse 7 of Hebrews 4, and that was written down, and just a couple other thoughts, and boy, God just really spoke to my heart, and so I've been working on this all week, and looked that up and studied it, and so that's how I'm preaching on this morning, and I cleaned out a drawer. So maybe it'd be good if I cleaned out more. Well, it depends how it turns out. But in Hebrews 4, we see in verse 7, again, he limiteth a certain day. A certain day. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for how you speak to us and speak to our hearts and just show us different things. And certainly, I've been encouraged this morning by the music, by the offertory, by so many things. You're so good to us. We need you now, Lord, and we need your word to teach us some things, show us some things, and change our lives. And we pray that you'll do that in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, every day is important, but there's something about that certain day. There's something, when you talk about a certain day, there's something for that day. Could be a birthday. Of course, you get my age and you don't care so much about those. You get my wife's age and you don't even talk about those things. But even though we're the same age, but the wedding day, that's last Saturday, and Rob and Nicole, they're somewhere. Where are you, Rob and Nicole? Wave. There they are over there, and they're still married. That's good. But wedding day, that's a certain day. Graduation day is a certain day, and these are special days. It's a certain day. It's a day, maybe our calendar, we've got it circled. Maybe we have, like my wife, she writes little notes, and our calendar at home is covered because there's so many certain days. But these certain days are special days. They're important days. And God actually makes reference to several certain days that just really stand out. And you'll see why here in just a minute. And they were certain to those in the Bible, and they're also certain for us. And these are days that we experience as well. And I want you to think about these things and let God speak to your heart. Because, again, certain days. Number one, the first one is a day of choice. We get that from our passage here, our text. It's a day of choice. And I've written down God's plan. It is God's plan for us to choose. It is God's plan for us to make choices. God did not make us robots. God did not put a computer chip in us and that he pushes a button and we do this or we do that. God made us to choose. God made us to want him. Are you listening? God made us to want to love him, to choose to love him, to choose his way and to do right or to do wrong. God made us to choose whether we're going to be saved or not. It's a day of choice. That is God's plan. And that certain day, and everybody can go back to maybe the day you got saved, you made a choice. Maybe the day you got married, you made a choice. Maybe you'll go back to the day that you went forward at a camp or a conference, or maybe here at this altar, and you made a life-changing decision. You made a choice. And it's a certain day, a day of choice that everyone, and ever since in the Garden of Eden, when God gave Adam and Eve a choice, man has been making choices. Man has been choosing to either do what God said or not do what God said. It's a certain day. It's a day of choice. Here, the text and this passage talks about a certain day, and it talks about this idea of choosing. Israel, of course, had a certain day when God made it possible for them to enter into Canaan. Verse 6, it says, "Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief." They had a choice to make. They had a decision to make. Paul says in his time in verse 2, he says, "For unto us was the gospel preached," watch this, "as well as unto them." The gospel was preached to everybody. The gospel was preached to a great audience. And there were some there that believed, and there were others there who believed not. He says the gospel was preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. Do you understand? The gospel has no profit for the unbeliever. The gospel, you know, that which we're thrilled about, that which we rejoice about, that which we sing about, it has no profit for the unbeliever. Why? It says, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. But he said, but for we which have believed do enter into rest. You know, we which have believed. Oh, it has no rest for the lost who won't accept it, even though they heard it. Same gospel preached to them. But wait a minute. We each had a choice. We each had a choice. We had a choice of whether to believe it or not. Israel had a choice, a day, a certain day, to enter into Canaan or not to enter into Canaan. And they made, of course, the wrong choice. In David's time, it says in verse 7, again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." He said, after 500 years since the children of Israel would not enter into Canaan land, he says, David, hey, that day, it's a certain day, and you have a choice. The people have a choice. Okay, it's your choice. What will you do? He says, harden not your hearts. That comes from the book of Psalms 95. Harden not your hearts. He says this in chapter 3. And quotes again the scripture, verse 7, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice," verse 8, "harden not your hearts," as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Hey, look back, and they could have gone into Canaan, but they had hard hearts. They made a wrong choice. They made a bad choice. Each day, God gives an opportunity to make a choice. But on that certain day, what will you choose? What will you choose? You sit here today lost, without Christ. Maybe you got everybody, you think everybody's faked out, everybody's fooled, but you're lost. Let me tell you, when you go to hell, you will not be gloating over the fact you faked out the preacher, or you faked out the people in the church, or you faked out a grandma, or whatever. It won't be something to rejoice over. I'm telling you, you're making a wrong choice. Harden not your heart. Make the right choice. Harden not your hearts, he says. Choose, because God's given you a certain day. It's interesting, he says in our text, again, he limiteth a certain day. That means that there is a limit on that. In other words, it's not always going to be available to make that choice. When Noah and his family and the animals entered into the ark and God closed the door, there was no choice left for the people who drowned in the flood. God says, there's a limit here. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, not tomorrow, today, make the right choice. Choose. Harden not your heart. Now, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You're lost today, and you say, you know, I've gotten by pretty well here. And let me tell you, you might get by pretty well till you die or till the rapture takes place, and then there is no other choice to be made. Now's the day to get saved. Now is the day. The day that you hear God's plan. The day that you hear it. And as it says here, you know, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. And I go back to my teen years, and the gospel was preached to me. And some got saved, but I didn't get saved. But then again, the gospel was preached to me. And some got saved, and I didn't get saved. But then again, the gospel was preached to me, and hallelujah, I got saved. And that was a certain day when I chose to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day when I made that choice to trust Him. Hey, when was your day of trusting Jesus as your Savior? When was your day? When was that certain day when you chose His way of salvation over good works, over being a member of a church, over being baptized, over whatever method it was that you thought was going to get you to heaven? What day was it? A certain day? A certain day? That's your day. In Acts 24 and verse 25, the Bible says Felix, he heard the gospel. And the Bible says not only did he hear the gospel, he knew the convicting power of God, because my Bible says that he trembled. Oh, he heard it. And he trembled. And maybe you sit here today and you say, hey, I'll tell you, I get under conviction when I hear it. Boy, I got under conviction when I heard it. I remember so clearly the conviction. But you know what? Trembling doesn't save you. Are you listening to me? Conviction, that doesn't save you. It's your day. Don't harden your heart. Trust Him as your Savior, because the Bible says Felix trembled, but he chose another day. And listen to me, as far as we know, that other day never came. It never came for him. He said, well, you know, I'll do it someday. No. You need to do it today. Today. The certain day. I've got three key certain days that I think about often. The one, of course, is when I got saved. That night that I heard the gospel and heard that Jesus was coming again, I was terrified. And God literally caused in my mind me to envision the rapture taking place and me being left behind. Some saved with fear. Amen. And I was scared to death. And I remember, I hope I never forget how I was saved. Another day that is a special key, certain day where I made a choice was the day that I married my wonderful wife. Another day that sticks in my mind is the day when God called me to preach in the back of a bus after a basketball game, between two games, the back of a bus, embarrassed because I was asked to have devotions, and I didn't have a clue what a devotion was. I thought I could pull it out of the bag and we'd all eat it. I had no clue. And I was terrified. And God called me to preach. And that was my certain day. And I'm telling you how different my life would be today had any of those days, had I heard as well as all the rest. But I didn't believe Him. And I did my own thing. It's a different day when you make the wrong choice. Joshua said this because not only do we choose and make choices regarding our salvation, but we make choices about who we serve. And Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." He said, "As for me and my house, here's my choice. We'll serve the Lord." And it was a certain day, he said, "We're going to serve God." It was a certain day, he said, "I'm going to do what God wants me to do." It's a certain day when he says, "Hey, forget my plans. God, I'm interested only in your plans. Choose you this day whom you will serve." Which God will you serve? Oh, it was obvious in Joshua's day. It was obvious the idol worship that was going on. It was obvious that people would have a little statue, a little idol that they would worship, and they would bow down to this little idol. And it was very obvious in Joshua's day. And he looked and he said, "Hey, if you want the calf, if you want a golden calf, take the calf. If you want your other little wooden idol, take the wooden idol." But he said, "Hey, I choose God. I choose the living God." Which God? Who are you going to serve? Teenager, who are you going to serve? Who are you going to serve? Which God? It's a certain day. You say, "Okay, that's it. Enough of me. I choose Him. I choose Him." The day of choice. That's God's plan. Everything happens so we can make the right choice. Everything takes place so that we can, through the help of the Scripture and the Holy Spirit of God, we can make the right choice. A day of choice, God's plan. Number two is a certain day, a day of miracles. It talks about God's power. Luke 5, verse 17. Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. A day of miracles, God's power. It breaks my heart to think there are Christians in this room who have been saved many years, but you can't really say that you've ever seen the power of God. You can't, and I don't say that in a mocking way. I say it in a sorrowful way as a pastor. Because God's power is real. God is a miracle-working God. And he says there's a certain day in Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, "It came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them." It was on a certain day. And God's power was present to do a miracle. And sure enough, in verse 18, behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop, and they let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Well, you know, hey, here's somebody that thought, "Hey, this is the day. We believe this day is a day of miracles. This is a day that God can help our friend." When he saw their faith, he said unto him, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." Jesus saw their faith of these people, and he said, "Hey, your sins are forgiven you." Oh, by the way, he also could walk. Amen. You know, God's power is still present. I live in the midst of miracles. One of the things about our men's prayer time is every week I hear God did something miraculous. We've knelt on Sunday nights. We've knelt many times and wept because we knew it wasn't in our hands. Is that true, Dan? It's happened, hasn't it? We knew we cannot do this. God, you have to do it. God is a God of miracles. And I live in the midst of miracles. And on a certain day, he healed this man. On a certain day, can you remember? He paid that bill. On a certain day, he saved that loved one. On a certain day, he delivered that addicted person. On a certain day, he answered my prayer. Boy, there's nothing like that in all the world. And on a certain day, understand, if you have a disease of some kind, you need to realize that on a certain day, you will be healed. Oh, you say, but the doctor said there's no hope. For the Christian, there's always hope. And then there's nothing else but hope for the Christian, because I just said, you will be healed on a certain day. You say, well, they say I'm going to die. And guess what? When you do, you will be healed. You will be free to run on the streets of gold in heaven and to breathe like you've never breathed before, and to be able to do the things you've never done before. I'm just saying that a miracle is going to take place. I don't care what anybody else says. It's on a certain day. On a certain day. Amen. It's a day of miracles. The Bible says in verse 26, and I always love this, they were all amazed and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. You know how sad it is that miracles of God are strange to so many people? Well, we're more scientific than that. I've had people say to me before, well, you go ahead and pray about it. I'll study it out. Strange. Boy, this is strange. Now, it may have been they thought it was strange that people would break through a roof to lower a friend down to get him help. I just wonder how far you would go to get somebody help. I know. Some strange people like Kathy Moran spent 12 hours every day during the fair trying to get people help. They might say that's a strange kind of a thing. Yeah. I'm just saying, do we really believe God has power? Oh, He does. And God's power is just as available today as it was then. Same God, same power. When's the last time you prayed for a miracle? I've got lots of miracles I'm praying for. Lots of miracles. I'm not talking about, well, preacher, you'll figure out a way. There is no figuring out a way. I'm talking about miracles after miracle after miracle. God, you have to do this. I can't do it. There are folks sitting right here. You're waiting on that day, that certain day, for that miracle. That miracle that God has the power to do. It's a certain day. Number three, a certain day is a day of trouble. Luke 8, verse 22. Luke 8, and verse 22. A certain day, a day of choice. That's God's plan. A certain day, a day of miracles, we see God's power. A certain day, a day of trouble, that's where we see God's peace. Luke 8, verse 22, it says, now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Day of trouble. And on that certain day of trouble, you can find out something. You can find out God gives peace. Do you understand? Most people don't really know that peace. Now, I'm not talking about peace, baby. I'm talking about the peace that passeth all understanding. I'm talking about a peace when you say, I don't get it. I have peace. I don't understand it. The waves were 20 feet high, and now the sea is as calm as can be. I don't get it. That's that peace that only God can give. But you don't usually find that peace until there's a day of trouble. some of our young people that wrestle, as I mentioned a while ago, and totally embarrassed Ben. They don't recognize, and they hear us talk about that peace until they themselves spend a night wrestling with God, or spend a day, or a week, or a month, and they wrestle with God, and finally God has to touch the inner part of their thigh and bring them up, halt, and they say, "Okay, God, I give up." And all of a sudden, it is well with my soul. And they look at us like, "You're nuts." "Oh, no, 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 no. I'm not the one that's nuts. I've got peace. I don't need a shot to calm me down. I don't need a pill to get me thinking straight. No, I've got peace." It's a peace. But it came because of a day of trouble. And on that day, it's an opportunity to see God's peace. God can either silence the storm which rages around you by saying, "Peace, be still." But He doesn't always silence the storm. Sometimes He just puts an umbrella over you and lets you know, "It's okay. It's all right. Step out in the water with me." Like Peter. And we all say, "Boy, he was nuts." Oh, no, 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 no. He just believed God. Amen. And so many times, if He doesn't end the storm, He gives peace right there in the midst. But it's a certain day. It's a certain day. You say, "I don't like storms." But in the middle of that certain day, the clouds will roll away. And the rain ceases and the wind doesn't blow. Amen. And you say, "Wow, isn't God good?" Or on that certain day, the clouds are still all around and they're black and you're surrounded and the rain and the wind is blowing and the rain is going sideways and the lightning is jagged and the sea is toiling and you say, "Oh, what am I going to do?" And all of a sudden, it's like His arms are around you and He says, "It's okay." Amen. But that comes in the day of trouble, that certain day. By the way, on this same certain day, there was some more trouble. You'll notice in verse 30, they went across and they went to the land, the country of the Gadarenes. And the Bible says in verse 30, Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. They besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. And then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And it was a certain day. Not only was there a storm on the sea, but there was a storm in someone's soul. I got news for you. Jesus brings peace. Whether it's a storm in the sea, or whether it's a storm in your soul. And I'm not talking about some fake little good feeling. Because my Bible says, when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled. And when it told it in the city and in the country. But look at verse 35. Then they went out to see what was done. And came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And he had the clearest mind he'd had in years. Why? Because Jesus gave peace. Jesus gave the peace that passes all understanding. Hey, what are you wrestling with today? What are you struggling with today? Hatred? Bitterness? Guilt? Sin? Today's your certain day when you can not only have peace that'll silence the sea, but peace that'll stop the storm in your soul. It's your day. Your day. A certain day. A day of trouble to learn of God's peace. Number four is a day of need to learn of God's provision. Luke 11 verse 3, just a few pages over. Luke 11, verse 3, and I love this. It's an amazing thing. Well, what do you mean a day of need? Well, we learn from the scripture that every day we have need. Isn't that something? Every day. Luke 11:3, give us day by day our daily bread. That's how he told us to pray. Certain, each day, that number one, I'll have a need. Number two, he'll meet it. Isn't that something? So I don't have any needs, really. Try to live without oxygen. Amen. Try to live without water. Especially today. Yeah. Every day we have daily needs. Give us this day. Give us day by day. Give us every day, including this day, a certain day, God. I need my needs to be met. God says, I will. My God shall supply all your need. Isn't that good? And you woke up this morning and you didn't even know you had all these needs, but you did. And God said, I'll take care of that. Isn't that amazing how financial things, the check comes just on the day you needed it. You know what that tells me? God knew before the day you knew. God, I got to have this, or this has to happen. And there it comes. You go check your mailbox and there it. But God knew it several days. With our mail system, must have been a week before. Every day. Every day. There's two things that are always going to be true for God's people. Number one, you have a need. Number two, he's going to meet the need. You say, oh, my life's boring. Look at what you just said. I'll tell you, let's get your life exciting. Go without oxygen for about 20 minutes. That'd be exciting for everybody around you. Huh? Stop your heart for a while. That'd be exciting. Amen. Go without water. Go without food. It's exciting. When you go without food, it's real exciting because you keep hearing, and everybody else hears it too. Amen. It's exciting. But isn't it something how your needs are met? Isn't it something how the blood does what it's supposed to do? Puts that oxygen everywhere. Gets oxygen way down there in your toes to keep you alive. Isn't that great? Cut that off. Don't cut your toes off. Stop that blood. Things get exciting. Don't do this right now. But you know how you'll hold your wrist and you'll cut off the blood and things get exciting, don't they, in that hand? It starts getting weird colors and starts getting all tingly and ooh, I don't like that. And boy, it gets exciting. But see, what God does is, God just says, hey, you have a need every day. And God says, I'm going to meet that need every day. Every day, I'm going to take care of those things. I'm going to take care of it every day. Whatever your need is, look, I'm teaching you how to pray. And they said very clearly, teach us to pray, Lord. And here's what he said. He said, okay, just do this. Here's something to pray about. Here's something to ask about. Father, can I have some bread, please? My guts are growling. Amen. Father, could I? And he says, if you do that, would he give you a stone? Or would he give you a snake? Or would he give you a scorpion? No, it's your father. Dad, I sure could use some bread. Dad, I sure could use a little oxygen. Dad, I sure could use my needs met. And every day, you can count on it. Just like Israel had manna in the wilderness, and God took care of that. And he didn't have to violate the Sabbath because he gave him enough the day before to take care of that too. Every day. Every day. You get up in the morning, oh, I got a bunch of needs. Oh, you don't have to worry about a thing. God's going to take care of your needs. Every day. Every day. By the way, not just bread, but you know Deuteronomy 33, I quote it often. I quote it for myself. I quote it for others. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. So what's that mean? That means that every day, whatever strength you need to get through the day, he's going to give you that strength. I love that. That's amazing, isn't it? Oh, you don't understand. I'm going through some trials and adversity. And I do understand this, that today, the certain day, God's going to give you strength to handle it. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And within all that is the strength He gives you every day, each day. You get a certain amount of strength to handle that day. He knows what's coming. He knows if you're going to be out in the middle of the sea and the storm's going to rage. He knows He knows if you're going to run into a demon-possessed guy. He knows. He knows all about it. He knows what's going to. He knows who's going to cuss you out. He knows if they're going to lie about you. He knows all those kind of things. And He gives you the strength when you get up in the morning. You say, ah, boy, what a great day. And He says, here's enough strength to handle it all. Here it is. Boom, you got it all. You say, well, why am I so wore out? And why aren't I handling it? And why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because what happens is you take a problem from yesterday and you pile it on to today. He didn't give you strength today for yesterday. Hello? Are you all listening to me? He did not give you strength today to handle yesterday. He gave you strength today to handle today. So quit going back to yesterday and live today, because He gave you strength to handle today. And the reason you fall is because you reach back to yesterday and He said, confess, get it right, and go on, and He'll forgive you, and you can go on, and as far as the east is from the west, He'll remove it. Now you remove it and you move on, and you live today because He gave you strength for today. Oh, you say, I've gotten victory over yesterday, and I'm doing great. But boy, I'll tell you, I'm worried about tomorrow. That's where you got a problem. Because He gave you strength today to handle today. He did not give you strength today to handle tomorrow. That's why He says not to worry about tomorrow, but to deal with today. Do you understand all the junk we worry about tomorrow? And the rapture takes place, and none of that ever happens. Amen. So we'd be better off just to forget about it. Every now and then, you know, the devil, and he's really a pain. I'm ready to just punch him. Okay? But every now and then, he'll start talking about, kind of tough getting up this morning, wasn't it? Yeah, that left shoulder's really been a problem, hadn't it? Yeah, you're getting old. And then the worst thing we could ever do, we look in the mirror. It seems like every time I look in the mirror, I keep seeing Dad. How many of you know exactly what I'm talking about? Yeah, you know exactly. Well, except ladies. Yeah, I don't ever see Dad. Yeah, you're starting to see Mom, aren't you? It's like, wow, how'd that happen? But you know, the best thing we can do is just say, you know what, though? Praise God, this old thing still works. Every now and then I check. I do wonder sometimes, and I check. And it's bad when I can't find it. You know what I mean? I mean, it is really bad when you can't find your pulse. But you know, and I just say, you know what? I'm going to just go on today because I have strength for today. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. Amen. Strength for today. Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Today. Day of need, God's provision. The last thing, number 5, Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. We've seen a certain day, a day of choice. That's God's plan. A certain day, a day of miracles. That's God's power. A certain day, a day of trouble. We see God's peace. A certain day, a day of need. And we see God's provision. And in Acts chapter 17 and verse 31, there is another certain day. It is as certain can be. It's a day of judgment. And we see God's punishment. As sure as I'm standing here this morning, there is a day of judgment. And it is a day of God's punishment. Oh, I've been spanked by God before. I've felt the chastening rod of God in my life before. And there might have been a time where I ran away and thought I could hide from that chastening paddle. But it's a certain day. Certain day. I can still remember. I probably shouldn't tell this. In fact, I talked to my sister the other day and she said, "You told any stories about me?" Well, I don't want to let her down. I still can remember the day I heard noises coming from her room and Mom was banging on her door. And my parents weren't saved. Our family wasn't saved. And so this was kind of a common thing for the yelling and screaming. And she was a typical rebellious teenager and just not interested in doing anything anybody told her to do. And my mom was standing at the door and she was banging on the door with the red paddle. And I can still see it. I mean, Mom was, she was ballistic. And I saw my sister crawl. I'm watching everything. I'm looking out the windows and everything. And so she crawled out the window and took off running. And Mom saw her and took off running after her. Quite the neighborhood scene. And she thought somehow she's going to get away. There was something that was certain. She wasn't. I remember the time Dad called me in and I said, "I don't want to come in." And I was playing Cowboys and Indians and I had a spear. Remember the old days when you could throw spears at people and it was okay? And I had a spear in my hand and Dad came out and said, he said, "DPR?" DPR always meant trouble. Okay, that's the initials, and that means you're in trouble. And he said, "You get in here right now." And I don't know why. I have no idea what possessed me. I have no idea what came over me. I have no idea what wave of stupidity struck. But I turned, and I threw the spear at Dad. That's what I said after I did it. I said, "Oh," like, "you're an idiot." And sure enough, I'm serious. And then I ran, like, am I ever going to come back? And I mean, he came after me and he took me. I can still see it. He got that red paddle out and it became redder at the cost of my, well, anyway. Oh, brother. Now, folks, God is going to deal with sin. He put his son on a cross to deal with sin. How in the world his son is hanging on a cross to deal with sin? How do we think we're going to run away and hide and he's not going to deal with sin? How do you think if you're here today and you're lost without Christ that somehow you're going to escape the judgment of God? It's appointed unto man once to die. There's a day. And after that, the judgment. If you're lost, you will go to hell. If you're a Christian and there's sin in your life, God will deal with you on a certain day. Cain killed his brother Abel and his day came and God dealt with him. Achan stole what God said not to take and the certain day came and God dealt with him. Haman's plot to kill Mordecai had it all figured out, but a certain day came and the hand of God came down on Haman. Sodom and Gomorrah found out their day came of their sin. Daniel's accusers, their day came. Oh, the devil's day is coming. Sure it is. But understand, God always deals with sin. If you're not saved, you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. God sent His Son to die on a cross to deal with your sin. And if you will trust Him as your Savior, if you'll call upon Him to save you, He'll save you today. And your sin is dealt with as far as God is concerned, as far as salvation is concerned. But Christian, understand, you can try to sneak out the window. You can throw your spear at God and run away. But the day's coming. It always does. It's a certain day. A certain day, a day of choice, God's plan. A certain day, a day of miracles, we see God's power. A certain day, a day of trouble, we see God's peace. A certain day, a day of need, we see God's provision. A certain day, a day of judgment, and we see God's punishment. Praise God. Praise God. A certain day. And praise God, when you're saved, you'll never have a day. You'll never have a day where He says, depart from me. If you're lost, that day will come. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. What day is it today? One of these things in your life, is this the day? You're not saved. Today is the day. Now is the day. Now is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Do you have a day? Do you have a need today? Do you have trouble today? I wonder how many here would say, I'm not saved. I've not trusted Christ as my Savior. If I died today, I would face that judgment that you were talking about. Please pray for me. I'm not saved. Would you raise your hand? Be honest. Be honest. Be honest. Anyone? Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know. I'm not sure. How many would say, preacher, I am a Christian. I am saved. But God has clearly spoken to my heart today about something in my life. Please pray for me. Raise your hand. All over. All over. Raise it up. Raise it up. God bless you. Thank you. God speaking to my heart as a Christian. Please pray for me. Anyone else, pray for me. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Father, I pray that today would be that certain day for a great victory in someone's life. May it be the day of salvation for those who are lost. May it be a day of victory for someone who has a need. May it be a day of peace for someone who hasn't known peace for a while. God, may it be a day of provision. May it be a day of power where you work. I pray, Lord, that it not be a day of punishment for anyone, but that, God, we'd get things right with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The instruments play wonderful peace. Do you have that peace today? You come if God's speaking to your heart. You have a decision to make. Do not hesitate. Come on, right now. God's speaking to your heart. Something you'd like to pray about. Something you need to pray about. God's speaking to your heart today. It's a certain day. What decision, what choice do you have to make today? God's speaking to your heart. You come. Amen. Look up this way, please. 4:30 ensemble practice, choir at 5. children's choir also at 5 o'clock, and our prayer times, men's and ladies at 5, then teens at 5 o'clock. We have a group from Grace Baptist will be here tonight, and teen testimonies during the evening service. Looking forward to that. So a lot of things. It'll be a great, great night, and I'm looking forward to that. Trust you'll be with us 6 o'clock for the evening service, and that'll be a real blessing. All right, Brother Don, would you come close in prayer, please?
Father, I do thank you for dealing with sin and punishment and providing through your Son a way for us to escape. Father, I thank you that each one of us can have a certain day when we trust you. And after that day, we can each have certain days where we learn to grow and walk in the way that you have us to walk. Father, again, I pray that this would be a day of peace for each of us, a day of provision as we look to you, a day of guidance as we seek your direction in our lives. And Father, a day of fellowship as we walk hand in hand with you down life's road. Guide us and direct us, Lord, that this certain day would be a special day in each of our lives. Bring us together, back again together at the next appointed hour. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.